Deuteronomy chapter 33. The book of Deuteronomy is basically where that Moses reviews the faithfulness of God throughout 40 years of wilderness travel, and he reviews God's faithfulness. And it is amazing how faithful God was if you read through the wanderings of Israel in the 40 years in the wilderness and find that they refused to enter Canaan's land, and so they spent the next 40 years wondering, you know, what in the world am I doing here? But we know that God was faithful to them because they woke up for 40 years every morning with manna from heaven and water from the rock to feed, to give them, to quench their thirst, not only them, but all of their animals, which were numerous. And so God was faithful to them, even though that the people had some problems in their wilderness travel. It took 40 years to get the slave mentality of Egypt out of them, where they could really be free and follow God. Okay, but we want to talk about the eternal God this morning. Let's notice it in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy, verse 27. Verse 26, again there, Deuteronomy 33, 26. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, would anoint your servant to speak and your people, all of us, to hear and receive what you have for us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about the eternal God today. And I'll try not to take forever to talk about it. But verse 27 very much stands out, has to me for many years. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. And so we know that God is eternal, and God will never change to be anything else. He'll never be temporary. He'll never just be something we can count on every now and then. God is eternal, and his character is eternal. God is always loving, kind, and faithful. He will always be. He is eternal. Everything about him is eternal. Praise God. And so, as Moses reviews the faithfulness of God, we could go back over many stories, and he does throughout the Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy here, and I can just imagine when Moses got up to speak the book of Deuteronomy to the people, they would say, oh, you know, Pastor, we've heard all this before. We've heard about coming out of Egypt. We've heard about all the battles and stuff. And can't we just get on with this? Okay. But Moses didn't pay any attention. He went ahead and preached 34 chapters. Okay. And so you'll be thrilled to know I started chapter 33. Okay. But I love the fact that God is eternal. You know, in the book of Hebrews it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change with the times. He's not going to change with politics. Thank God. He's not going to change with anything. He doesn't need to. You know, when you're perfectly right, you don't need to change. That means God's the only one that doesn't change, and he's the only one that's perfectly right about everything. And so what he's going to do for you will be eternal. It'll be good. And I thank God that he has eternal plans for all of us. Amen. And so let's look at the fact that God is eternal first. God, and we're here in the Christmas season. It doesn't matter what season we're in. Jesus is eternally the Son of God. And God is eternal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Neither of them ever began anywhere. The only beginning that Jesus ever had was in his humanity, when the Son of God became the Son of Man. And Son of God having to do with his deity, he is forever God. Jesus has always existed. He didn't begin in Bethlehem. He always existed in eternity past. And so his only beginning was in humanity when he became the Son of God, became the Son of Man, which speaks of his humanity, Son of Man. And he had no beginning, he will have no end, and God has no beginning or ending ever. Praise the Lord. Psalms 90 and 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Literally translated, from eternity to eternity, thou art God. And so we know that God never began. He will never end. That's hard for us as humans to realize, because in our mind, everything has to have a beginning. And we hope some things will end sooner than they do. But we know that is in humanity that things begin and end. But in eternity, there is no ending. And God never began. He will never end. And I'm thankful that God gave the gift of eternal life. You don't want the eternal other thing, eternal separation from God. You want eternal life. That's what you want to live. And some things we think in our humanity, that some things will never end. There may be arguments that you heard that never seem to end. And they should end immediately, but they don't. There are events that happen that you think should end, and they're going for a while, but it seems like they're going to go on forever. And endless reports of various things in the world seems like, you know, will people ever get over this and just let it die? You know, we think that about various things. There are still people that give reports of seeing Elvis somewhere. But he ended. And so there's lots of things. But the goodness of God is eternal. His love, his concern, his help for you is eternal. And if you look in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you'll find the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, tenderness, kindness, self-control. All those things are eternal about God. And God will never be anything different than what he is, because he doesn't need to be different. And I'm glad that he doesn't change with people's opinions and what the majority of people think most of the time. I'm glad that God is the same and he's eternal. Praise God. His word, God says, is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. If Jesus said that he loves you now. If Jesus gave his life for salvation of your soul, it is forever his will to save people and that they be not lost. It doesn't mean that God's going to let some people buy with sin and let them into heaven. But Bob, Jesus said, except a man is born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. But the good news is, Jesus' plan is for you to be born again, you to be saved, you to be walking the straight and narrow that leads to life everlasting. That's God's plan eternally for you. Amen. And if we make the choice to change that, then that's a choice we made. God never planned for anybody to backslide and turn away from God. God meant for all to stay with it until the end. To fight a good fight, to keep the faith forever. So God's word is eternal. What God said still applies today. I heard some time back that some preacher, if you call him that, said the Bible need to be rewritten to make it relevant for today. Every time I read the Word of God, it's relevant now. Amen. Yes, language changes throughout the years. That's right. Yeah, language has to be updated. But what God says is true today, tomorrow, and forever. And so I'm thankful for His Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God. That refers to the person of Christ. But his spoken word is eternal as well. And God gives eternal life. He gives eternal hope. And all these come from his word. And I'm glad that we can stand upon the fact that God is eternal in what he says in his word. Let me give you something. There is a security in living for God. There is an eternal security. Don't turn me off now. But that eternal security is in a continued, progressive walk with God all along the way. When you receive the gift of eternal life, it presupposes that you've made the choice to live for God and walk with God from then on. Amen. And if we turn off the side roads by ourselves, it's not God that turned us aside. It's us that made the choice to get off the straight and narrow that leads to life. But I want to tell you something, friend. We can be certain and secure in the fact that God has eternal plans for us and has put us in his eternal plan. Amen. If he didn't, he wouldn't have died for the whole world. But I am against the theology, if there is such a thing, that God has chosen certain ones to be saved and certain ones to be lost. God's choice is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's plan for all people to be saved. Not all will be, but God's plan is anybody that can and wants to can be. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. You see, you can take great hope in that verse. You ought to memorize that one. Amen. Because God's plan for you is for you to continue on. He has plans for you now in this life and also eternally. And we can be confident, certain, and assured that God has plans for us until He takes us to heaven. And I'm certain after He takes us to heaven, He has plans from there. Don't worry about that. Just be concerned about doing God's will now. Praise the Lord. So God is eternal. God is our eternal refuge. The eternal God is your refuge. Verse 27 of our text. And we know that God is in the business of being our refuge. He's the place that we go to when we're scared, when we're afraid. Amen. You say, well, I'm not scared of anything. I'm not afraid of anything. Yes, you are. Amen. I'm the only one that said amen. But everybody's afraid of some things. Thank you. But God is our refuge. When we don't know what to do, we run to God. We should run to Him before that. But I can tell you, God knows what to do. God knows how to handle everything. And when we come to the place where we don't know what decision to make in life, I'm thankful that God is not absent. He's present. And God is our refuge, our protector, and our keeper. And not only does God save us, but He keeps us. When we walk with Him, He keeps us. In Psalms chapter 121, the psalmist says there, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I want to tell you, the God, the creator of the ends of the earth, He knows you, He's your helper. That doesn't mean He's some slave that comes alongside to help you with every little thing, but it means that He is the one in charge and He leads us and He guides us. Okay? He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. Amen. Psalms 121, great hill song, the biblical kind. Amen. Love Australia's hill song music. Great. It's a great song. But this is really hill songs right here too. Because this is songs that they sang going up to Jerusalem from various parts of the world three times a year to meet the Lord. They would sing these psalms as they went. Okay, so God is our refuge. And God keeps us. And I'm thankful there's great promises in the Bible about God's keeping power. In the book of Jude, verse 24, there's only one chapter. It says, talking about God, our eternal God, and God being our refuge, it says, now Him who is able to keep you from falling or keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And so God is able to keep you from stumbling. You say, well, everybody fails. And this has gotten to be a habit thing among many people. You know, everybody sins, and so it must be okay to sin, must be expected. No, it's never God's will for you to make the choice to sin. It's God's will for you to live above sin. And God gives us the power to keep from stumbling. Amen. And assumed here, if God is able to keep you from stumbling, He's able to keep you from falling. And it is possible to fall away from God. Many people have, but you don't have to. And God wants to keep you, and God wants you to live for Him and be a witness and be a test to your life, to be a testimony to other people as you walk this walk. And where you're weak and where you have failures in your life, God is there by His Holy Spirit to pick you up and to convict you and to lead you to repentance. And I thank God that He is very merciful to do that. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that promise of God. Hallelujah. And so God is our refuge. In the book of Psalms, chapter 91, verse 1, every soldier has probably memorized this scripture. I remember years ago, I picked up my brother's New Testament that he carried in the jungles of Vietnam. as he was in the infantry. And there was plastic or tape, pages taped over this particular psalm that he had in his little New Testament that he carried in his pocket every day. And it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That is, God is our refuge. Amen. The Lord is my refuge and my strength, the present help in time of need. You know, the Bible goes on to say many things about that. And so God is our eternal refuge. He's a place we go. He's a secret place. You know, a child, when they get scared of something, the first thing they do is they want to run to mama or daddy or anybody that can protect them. And you and I, we are earthly creatures. We're not eternal. We are in the sense that we've been born again of God's Spirit, or that we will exist eternally in one place or the other. It's not hard for me to figure out which one of them I want to spend eternity in. Heaven. Amen. But we see here, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him shall I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Psalms 91 goes on to say many things. Wonderful psalm. But I want to tell you, God keeps us. God protects us. God is there. And let me make certain this is one thing. If God did not have His protecting hand upon us, the enemy of your soul would destroy you as soon as he could. And he's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But if the protecting hand of God is upon us, I want to tell you, friend, believer, if you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, the enemy of your soul can't reach you. He can't come through the blood. And without God's permission, he can't test you or try you. God allowed Satan to test Job. And you may read the book of Job and say, "Well, I hope God didn't allow him to test me like that." Whatever God allows, God will give you the strength and the power to stand and not be overcome. The eternal God is your refuge. Amen. The title here, the eternal God, the Most High, represents, emphasizes His majesty. And it's parallel to the name Almighty God, a translation of the divine title El Shaddai. He's the one we run to. He's the place we run to. Is our refuge and our fortress. Amen. And the word refuge here may be replaced or rephrased as my secure fortress. Amen. We all like security. And I do too. But God is the one who gives that. Praise the Lord. So we place our trust in one who is in charge of past, present, and future. And God is eternally God. He will never be anything else. He doesn't need to be. He's eternally God. Let me just talk about a couple of things, eternal things that God has for you and I. It's in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. These are good scriptures to meditate upon. Let's just look at what God eternally has planned for you. 1 Peter 1, 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us," born again, "has begotten us into a living hope." My friend, we have things here that give us hope. Amen. People hope, farmers, which I grew up on, hope that there is a good crop. Amen. We used to have watermelon crops. We hoped that they would produce and we could sell watermelons and make money and make a living. We planted peanuts. I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about real nuts. That never comes out right. Anyway. And they would produce. And so we had those and we planted in hope that they would produce and we could make a living. But God has begotten us again into a living hope. Not some crop, amen, not something that we plant money and things on in this world hoping it'll last forever. because nothing here lasts forever. But we've been begotten again into a living hope, a hope now and a hope forever. Amen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If we only have the hope that mankind can produce, it's a pretty sad story. But I want to tell you, friend, believer, child of God, you've gotten more than what mankind can produce. You've got an eternal hope. We're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We've got a hope that this world can never give. We got hope of an eternity that this world can never give. Amen. God made it. God produced it. God is eternal, and we got eternal life waiting on us. Hallelujah. Not only an eternal hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, but to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away. Many people here get hooked on an inheritance. Families fight over who got the most inheritance. My boys wouldn't have much to fight about. Who got the house? Who got the car? Who got this? You'd be surprised at what the silly things that people fight over in this world. Even sometimes Christian people. And stuff that's going to burn up is not going to last. A new car eventually rusts. It sure is nice when it's new though, isn't it? But to a living hope, to an inheritance that's incorruptible. I want to tell you, heaven does not get old and heaven does not wear out. And the eternal life that God gives you when you're saved, it doesn't wear out. And the eternal home that God has given you, it does not wear out. Praise God. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. God has a heavenly citizenship for those who have chosen him. And I want to tell you, friend, heaven is our home. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hallelujah. Not a scripture, that's a song. It's truth. Our inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it does not fade away, it's reserved in heaven for you. And the Bible says here, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our eternal God is our refuge. We're kept by his power unto the day that he calls us home. Not as only God, as God eternal, not only is our refuge in God eternal, but God is eternally strong as well. We, as humans, we hate to see weakness. I went to high school with a young man that was, he was about my height, about my size, weighed about what I did, but he was far different. He was just one solid piece of muscle. That's all. If you don't mind, J.D., I might compare him to Keith, your son that's going on to heaven, Keith. Keith was just one, there wasn't an ounce of fat on that guy. He was just one solid muscle from toes up. He didn't brag about it, that's just what he was. Strong, powerful, young man. But this man that I went to high school with is much the same way. And he was a running back on DeLeon's only world, or world, their only state championship. Probably thought it was World and DeLeon. Anyway. But he would just have, in his arms were muscular everywhere. It was just him. And when he would pole vault, I'll tell you what, every muscle just popped out. He didn't brag about it in any way, but we nicknamed him Ratchet. Because he was like a ranch that you know, just keep going, Ratchet. Anyway, it doesn't mean it's not funny to you, but it is to me. Anyway, that's what we called him. But he wasn't weak in that sense. I pray somewhere along the line he got right with God. I don't know. Nothing about him in years. But you know, God isn't weak. God is eternally strong. He doesn't come weak tomorrow. He's not going to submit to weakness because he doesn't have any weakness to submit to. He is strong forever. And we're not dealing here with someone that's just done some great things. We're dealing with the creator of the end of the earth. all things. He made all things. He put the stars in place. He put the planets in orbit. I mean, he put the solar systems, many, if I understand, many things that we've never even known about or won't know about until we're eternally with God, and God only knows what he has planned in eternity for us. But I'm glad that God is not temporary. He is eternal, and he's eternally strong. In the book of Isaiah, it says God speaks through the prophet here to the nation of Israel, and I believe to us today, and he says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall and be weary. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint, not lose heart, not give up, not faint." Amen. So the eternal God is strong to help you in every way. How many times can you come to a test, or could you come to a testimony right now when God has given you strength that you just, when you're within yourself, wasn't strong enough? I'm thankful underneath our God's everlasting arms, his everlasting strength is there to hold you, to keep you, to help you along when you're not strong enough. It breaks our pride a little bit to say we're not strong enough, but without God, we're not strong enough. But I want to tell you, with God's help, we are strong, we are powerful, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. We can overcome every temptation the enemy brings along. We can be victorious. We can have the joy of the Lord in our life. We don't have to be sad and sour and disillusioned all the time, but we can be confident continually in our Lord. Hallelujah. I'm amazed when I read at the strength of God throughout Scripture. Moses could face 40 years of wandering with the people of God because God's strength in him prevailed above all his natural strength. He didn't get to enter the promised land, but he did get to carry Israel for 40 years through the wilderness. And God is also strong to guide you and I through this wilderness of sin that we live in until we reach our heavenly home. And there's some powerful things, there are powerful people in Scripture. And I don't want to get into an argument here over sons of God and daughters of men, but there are very many people that are talked about as giants in Scripture. And we remember Goliath of Gath that fought against David. And he was from one of the Philistine cities, the sea peoples of the coastlands. And the Bible does speak of another man at Gath. And it says in 1 Chronicles 26, "Yet there was a war at Gath, and there was a man of great stature, with 24 fingers and toes, 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot. He was also born to the giant." Now, we can say, you know, the writer here just was in running and letting his imagination running away with him. No, this is the inspired word of God. This really happened. And so, if you got 24 fingers and 24 toes, amen. I don't know what he did about athlete's feet, but he had a lot of scratching to do. Amen. That's not Scripture. But there were powerful people then. There were men of old, and they were renowned men. And so there were great, powerful things. The Bible is not silent on the subject of power, but it goes further than that, because regardless of how physically strong a person may be, they need the eternally strong hand of God to overcome sin and to live victorious. There are things that are too big for you, too big for me. Amen. There's things that I would fall and fail in if it were not for God holding me up. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. There's people that say, "I could never do this," or "I could never sin that way," or "I could never fall that short of the glory of God." Yes, you could, my friend. The reason you haven't is because God upholds you with his strength, because God is all strong and all powerful. He keeps you from falling. He keeps us walking the straight and narrow. I want to tell you, our God is not weak. He's strong. He's strong in your behalf on whatever you have to go through. God is strong. Stronger. He's eternally strong. Hallelujah. He's stronger than your adversaries. Great promises in the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. "What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let me tell you something, friend. For you to live for God and go to heaven, God has done all things. He's went, he's gave all. He left nothing undone. He spared nothing for my salvation and yours. He gave his only son, heaven's greatest treasure. Because he cares. You think God doesn't want you to be victorious? You think God wants you to barely make it? No, God wants you to make it. You get up and live for God. You start serving God. Because God is for you. Amen. There's a name of God in Scripture. God has many names in Scripture. He has many Jehovah names, about 14 that I've seen. I won't go through all 14 of them, even though we are talking about eternity. But one of those names is Jehovah Elyon. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not. But it has the meaning of the Lord Most High. One of the names of God means he's the Lord Most High. And this Most High name is mentioned several places in Scripture. I won't go to all of them. But it is a term that often describes God's authority over the nations. And God is higher than every nation. And God is higher than every authority on earth. There has never been one authoritative person or place that could say, God, what in the world do you think you're doing? God is all powerful and God is most high. God is higher than your problems. God is higher than the mountain you're facing right now. God is higher than whatever comes against you. I want to tell you something. God is most high. He will not suffer you to slip or fall down. He's there with you, holding you up at many times. And cares for you. He's eternally strong. He's the Lord Most High. God is eternally strong for you. He defeated death at the cross. Man's greatest fear is to die and death. And man spends billions of dollars in research and science and in medicine trying to figure out a way to make us live a few minutes longer. Amen. You know, Christian, you're eternally on life support if you're saved. Not so you can die easily or a little bit at a time, but when you get to heaven, his support in life is eternal. Eternally supported by a God and a Jesus that can never die and given life. Hallelujah. Because people want to, in physical death, people do anything to stay alive physically. Almost. But Jesus defeated this thing called death at the cross. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Jesus knew what it was to die. Not spiritually, but physically, yes. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, forevermore. And at the cross, he defeated our greatest fears, fear of the unknown, fear of what terrorism has done or might do. You know something? God isn't scared of terrorism. Amen. If you read in the book of Revelation, you'll find that it's no problem to God to send judgments up all over this world, that every mountain and every island is moved out of its place by one spoken word of God, one of God's judgments. Powerful. God created this world with the word of his mouth. And so God's not fearful. And this, you and I need to trust and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God is eternally strong for you. Fears and worries of what might happen to you or to loved ones. Worry can become the thing that controls your life if you let it. Have I ever worried? Absolutely. Have you? I'll rinse it for you, yes. It happens, but it doesn't do any good. It doesn't help one thing. It will not help you get along better in life if you worry more. But fears and worry come in the natural man. But at the cross, Jesus defeated our fears of death, fear of the unknown, fear of what might happen. Our part is to pray, amen, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our part is to pray and stop worrying. Amen. If you're worrying and you're worried about worrying, pray. And by faith, leave it in God's hand. When you leave the altar of prayer, saying, God, I commit this to your care. I'm not going to worry about this person or that anymore. I've left it in your hands. I can't do anything about it. I trust you, dear God. I put my trust fully in you. Let me give you a little help here, or let God give you a little help here in Scripture. Psalms 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And God gives some instruction to us here, where he says, it is vain for you, put your name there, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up light, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Man, and I'm going to close before you go to sleep here, okay? He's not giving you sleep here. Yeah. Some people in church have gone to the land of Nod. Anyway, so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, God is eternal, and God's power is eternal. The devil has an end. Revelation 20:10, when the devil is through, and God's through with the devil, and God's been through with him for a long time. But all the people that didn't make it to the judgment, the final judgment, the Bible says the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so the devil has an end. He will never again tempt one person in the new heaven and the new earth. Praise God. Temptation won't be a problem. Amen. We'll go, we'll live for God. God will be eternally our God and our Savior. Amen. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, John saw. First heaven, the first earth are passed away. Praise God. It'll be far beyond our imagination what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. You can live for God, be strong. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are his everlasting strong arms. Amen.